This morning, if you would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 25, I want to read to you verses 1 and 2. We're continuing our study on God's glory. It's so good to be able to interact with you over the Word of God, to be able to think about theological truth in practical terms, which is what I aim to do with these sessions, that it isn't just that we understand theology, but that it's that we are able to apply the truths that we learn to the various situations in our lives and the lives of people around us, so that we would be wise people. Well, listen to what it says here in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 1. These also are the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. I just want to interact with you briefly over this, and then we'll turn over to John chapter 11 here in a few moments. When it says that it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, what do you think that that means? We've talked about the glory of God as being His excellence, the excellence of His being and His perfections, which He shines forth to all the earth, all the world, all the creation, and also in the hearts of men. What an incredible thing it is. Why is this worded the way that it is? It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. You would think with...
contrast here that God doesn't need anything revealed to Him because He knows everything. So the only thing He can do is really hide it if He wants to. But a king needs to discover things, or anyone needs to figure them out, in contrast to God.
Well, that's really good, Brian. Did you want to amplify on that a little bit more? That was excellent. That was excellent. God doesn't need to learn anything Himself, but we surely do, don't we? We have many things to learn concerning God, concerning ourselves, concerning the meaning of life. And sometimes I think that we believe that everything ought to be open with God, that God ought not to conceal anything. David? Appreciation.
I believe that when something's concealed and you search it out, in your searching you find more information and it becomes more real to you and you remember it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one reason why it's concealed, is so that it's like the pearl of great price.
Mm-hmm. It's concealed because it's of great value. That's really good, Dave. And we appreciate it more than when we do apply ourselves to search it out, so that we actually can find out more what about God, yes, and about God through His Word. I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way, but the Bible is not like a manual. You know what I'm saying when you... when you buy a piece of equipment, you know, like a power washer or something like that, and you're looking at this, I don't know about you, I think a lot of men don't read the manual. They just they think they can figure it out, you know, and so they go about to hook this thing up and all the different nozzle tips and everything, and that's the way I am anyway. I I realize that there's like four or five different tips to the power washer, and I need to be careful which one I use, you know, when I'm using that piece of equipment. But when it comes to the Bible, I think that a lot of times we think that God ought to be more open with things. If this is the truth of the matter, then why do I have to search so long and hard to find it? If this is something that impacts my life, and that God would have me to do, wouldn't it be better if God just made it as plain as could possibly be so I don't miss it? But what I'm trying to say to you here is that this verse is saying to us, is this a glory of God to conceal a matter? And the reasons are what Dave's saying. We could add even more, but that's just excellent. There's a value to it. There's a value to spiritual truth. There's a value to the way that the Lord made you and your soul. And since that's the case, should it not be the case with us that we learn to mine out the riches of God's Word as truth, and that we truly understand and see that God has actually concealed things within His Word, but then He reveals them, doesn't He? And He reveals them at the right time in the right way. Sometimes we don't believe that. But God is in perfect control of all of the ways that He reveals Himself in His glory, His excellence, the excellency of His being. And so we need to see that. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings. And as David was saying, or Brian was saying, anyone else for that matter, the glory of ourselves to search it out so that it won't be something that we think God's hiding something from us. God wants us to search. God wants us to ask for wisdom. God wants us to draw near to Him in prayer when we don't understand, when He appears to have concealed something from us. He wants us to search the matter out and to ask for wisdom and to believe that God will give that wisdom at the right time. Why don't you turn with me over to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. This very famous passage of Scripture concerning the raising of Lazarus from the dead. It says here, and I may read a few verses, so bear with me, but now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha, and it was Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. That's just an incredible statement, isn't it? This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And yet watch what takes place here. It's for the glory of God that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when He heard that he was sick, He stayed two more days in the place where He was. Then after this, He said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. And the disciples said to Him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go that we may die with him." He didn't understand quite yet. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said, "Let's go that we may die with him." So Jesus came. He found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around, Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who has come into the world." And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, watch this, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. It's an amazing section of Scripture. I felt like I just had to read it out loud to you here today. And And then to try to draw you out in conversation concerning this, when it says that it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, it's the glory of kings to search it out, there were some things that were concealed here, weren't there? There were some things that were concealed here. What can we say was concealed? Amen. It was concealed from them, the Lord's purpose in waiting 2 more days until Lazarus had died. They didn't understand this. It was something concealed, but it was something in the purpose of God and Christ, that this sickness, he says here, would not be unto death. And yet this man died. But he didn't really, not spiritually, did he? In fact, he says here, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? See, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. They didn't understand why Jesus would wait 2 days longer. They were trusting in him. Martha and Mary were trusting in him. They knew Jesus, and I believe that they thought that they knew Jesus real well. They knew that Jesus could have prevented Lazarus' dying. But this was for the glory of God. That's what I want you to see. And sometimes when things are concealed from us, we think hard thoughts about God, don't we? No, this just isn't right. We just we think to ourselves, this just isn't right. This could have been prevented, or this didn't have to happen this way. But it did, according to the Lord, whose glory it is to conceal a matter, to conceal a purpose, so that we might understand something more about his glory. I think this is just very precious. Because he says to them here, and really he deals with them very plainly. I'm talking about his disciples now. He says, they didn't understand this at all. He says, our friend Lazarus in verse 11 sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Isn't that, that is just precious. That's how the Lord Jesus thinks about these things. I mean, that's just the way that he thinks about these things. He could just say a word and empty the whole graveyard and raise them all from their death and present them. And he will do this someday, won't he? This is what he's going to do someday. We don't understand. It's concealed from us, the purposes of why a person dies at a certain point or doesn't get well, or why they have to go through this trial or that trial or the other trial. And he says in this beautiful way, I go that I may wake him up. And his disciples say, yes, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. And Jesus, however, was speaking of his death. Jesus loved to speak in this way. Do you notice? And he speaks that way for your encouragement, the strengthening of your faith. That's why he speaks that way. And he says, nevertheless, let us go to him. Now, he doesn't even tell them. He conceals it from them what he's going to do. He conceals it from them until the very last minute. Do you notice that? And I want you to understand with me that this is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's often the glory of God to conceal something from you and I that we think ought to be revealed right now. I need to have an answer to this, and I need to have an answer to this right now. But God says no. And God has a good reason for saying no. And in this case, it was for the glory of God that he said no. And that was because he was intending to raise him from the dead, which was a glorious thing. Now, what's really wonderful here is that Mary and Martha both say this to him, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." And they are weeping. They know the reality of this. What's really beautiful about this is that the Lord Jesus knows the reality of grief in his heart. He knows it. And the proof of it is right here in that shortest verse of the Bible. Jesus wept. And Jesus wasn't just weeping just out of sympathy, but part of it was because of the unbelief of, I think, of the people around him, not seeing what he intended to do, although sensing and yet not knowing because it had been concealed from them. But Jesus shows them before he raises Lazarus that he knows how to grieve and he knows how to sympathize with those who do. But in terms of unbelief, he would ask us more, wouldn't he? He would ask us more. He would ask us to search it out. And that's what he wants to do with us. "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Take away the stone." But surely he'll stink by this time. "Take away the stone." And he says then to his father, "I know that you always hear me, but I'm saying this for the people around me. Lazarus, come forth." And he comes forth. But I just want you to meditate on that with me here today. That it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, the glory of kings and people like us who have been made kings and priests by our God to search it out. Well, let's pray together. We thank you, Lord, for this time. It's a time in theology, but we want it to be practical. And we pray it would be for us, that when we see something concealed from us by yourself, that we would have the grace to search it out. Be gracious to us here today, and may your word come with power to your people, and may you build us up in our faith, and may you save those who need to be saved. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.